proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
Facing post-Roe America. This is the topic we're going to be dealing with today, and it is exciting to know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel in regard to this topic. Christians and pro-lifers have been working and praying to overturn the Roe v. Wade ruling for close to 50 years. Now that end may be in sight. We must know that our real work will barely be beginning once that is overturned, and we must be prepared to face it. How do we do that? Those in favor of abortion on demand are misrepresenting the overturning of Roe v. Wade by saying that it will jeopardize treatment for miscarriages, complicated pregnancies, fertility treatments, contraceptives, and on and on and on is the list that they are including in all this and scaring people that they will not be able to get necessary medical treatments. That is fear-mongering. That is not what it means. So welcome to the program as we tackle this challenge that is before us, facing post-Roe America. I'm Nena Arias. As all things in life, only looking at them from God's perspective is that we can understand the design, the goal, the function of all things. So from God's perspective and from common decency, if I may say so, all innocent life should be respected and protected. Bottom line. Now, granted, not all life is innocent, and that is why I make the distinction, because some criminals have forfeited their right to life when they committed heinous crimes and should face the consequences of losing theirs if their crime merits that punishment. It is very important to make that distinction. All humans are called upon to treat others as we want them to treat us. This is famously known as the Golden Rule, and it is a moral principle which denotes that we should treat others the way you want to be treated yourself. For example, the Golden Rule means that if you want people to treat you with respect, then you should treat them with respect too. In Luke chapter 6, verse 31, it says, "And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them." End of quote. If we could only hone in on this principle in everything that we do and in everything that we say, dear friends, our world would turn around on a dime. We would see a drastic change for good in our entire society, in our culture, in our nation. We are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And this is told to us in Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, that says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." End of quote. That is also not difficult to understand what it means. The difficulty and the challenge is in carrying it out, in having that principle very present in your mind, wherever you go, whoever you deal with. It is always to our advantage to do the right thing. Because what we sow is what we are going to reap. Treating people right, even if they're not behaving respectful or cordial, and they are being difficult, the way to look at this is that these are all good opportunities to do the right things and stretch ourselves more in cultivating good character, in living out good life lessons, so that we can not only implement the knowledge that God gives us for right living, but also be an example to others and contribute something very positive and needed in our world. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 through 10, we read the following, and it says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." End of quote. There's a lot of learning here in these verses, dear friends. First of all, it's the law of sowing and reaping. You cannot expect to reap something that you have not sown, that you've not cultivated. And many times, if we're not careful, we create a very selfish world around us and think that everything is about us, everything should please us, everything and everyone should respect us. But what about sowing that first in the life of others? Then you can expect to reap it. And it says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." When we do not see results of doing good, there's a tendency there to get weary, to say, "Oh, what's the use? It's not noticed. It's not making a difference." But God says differently. Don't get weary in doing good. He says, because in due season you will reap. We all know that the law of sowing and reaping, or planting and harvesting, it's a process. And when you plant those seeds, you will not immediately reap the harvest. It takes a while. So that's why he says, in due season, you will reap. Just be patient. But he does say, when you have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. And everyone means everyone, even the unlovely, even those who do not inspire us to be respectful to them. But it does say everyone. And of course, it says, especially to those who are of the household of faith, meaning those who have the common faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this saying of treating others as well as you would want to be treated goes far beyond simply being kind to people or going out of your way to be available or helpful to those in need. You would want others to assist you in a bind or be pleasant, even in an unfavorable circumstance. Also, think about others the way you would want to be thought of. Do you know that all of our actions start out with thoughts that are suggested to our mind, that come to our mind? We elaborate them, and by the time we carry them out, it's because we have probably been developing them in our mind, and then it translates into a deed. But that's because you've already conceived it in your mind. We are to feel about others the way you would want others to feel about you. Speak to others the way you would want to be spoken to or spoken of. And on and on and on are the opportunities that we have to show this love to others. Now, when we say to love others as we love ourselves, God does not expect you or describe His love with these overwhelming ooey-gooey emotions, that if you don't feel those ooey-gooey emotions toward people, that you can't love them. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about loving people regardless of how you feel, regardless of what your emotions are saying. Emotions are very treasonous. They betray us and they rob us of doing the right thing. Most of the time, it's very hard to make an effort to respect even the unrespectable, people who are not behaving in such a way that we show them respect and not disrespect them. We never know what's going on inside. If you want to be on the right side of any issue, we must find something in a person or experience that was positive or beneficial and focus on that. People many times snap at us or behave angrily because something inside of them is making them react that way. We never know what they have gone through, what they have suffered, and we must put ourselves in their shoes. There are inevitably circumstances in which you were made out to be the bad guy. Has that ever happened to you? And others made no effort to respect your role in a matter or went out of their way to hurt your integrity or reputation? Human beings can be very two-faced, two-sided. They can manifest themselves in a certain way, but then when they really have to stand up and defend values, many times they become cowards. They don't want to be attacked. They don't want to be judged. They don't want to be pointed out in any circumstance. But we are not to follow the same manner. Even if we feel it is justified or that they deserved a different reaction, you don't know what goes on in the mind of another or what is motivating their actions. Like I said, we don't know what's going on inside. All you can do is take responsibility for your response in this situation and choose to show ultimate compassion and respect, even when it is hard to find. Not only will this make you a better person, it will show others your true integrity and make it nearly impossible to doubt yours if it is threatened or attacked in the future. These same people may come to your defense when they witness your better behavior in difficult circumstances. It may even redeem your past, that you did something wrong, but now with good behavior, it's redeeming your image in the eyes of others. Good deeds never die. You know why? Because God keeps track of them. Just like He keeps track of bad deeds, He keeps track of good deeds. And when you do good deeds, you are sowing into His kingdom. And God is not a debtor to any person. He will see to it that you reap the benefits of what you have sown. So never get weary in well-doing. Back to the focus of this topic. In a post-Roe America, we the church, and by that I mean those who are in a commitment with God, we have our work cut out for us. And also, those in the medical field have their work cut out for them after Roe gets overturned. And I'm confident that this will happen. But our work will only increase because now we will have to fill in. In most states, overturning Roe versus Wade won't make a difference until laws that protect life at all stages get passed, get legislated. And this is where we will have to work diligently with our representatives in government to get laws legislated that will manifest the full respect that life needs. So we all have to work to do that at the state level to get pro-life legislation enacted. Let's get it on the books. Let's get it properly legislated in our congresses, our state congresses, and let's establish the right laws. Let us turn from our wicked ways. Let us overturn all the laws that have disrespected life. Let us overturn all the laws that are victimizing the victims of a crime and being more benevolent to the actual perpetrators. Are you getting pretty frustrated with that? Victims are victimized over and over again, and the criminals and the felons get away with their unlawful actions. In the opinion of an expert, a board-certified OBGYN and chairman of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, Dr. Christina Francis, she says that abortion violates the promise that all OBGYNs take, as do all physicians, because they all vow to protect and preserve life, not kill it. This is a formal oath of their profession, and it should be taken seriously, and it should be upheld. The truth is that few gynecologists perform abortions. Did you know that? Because they acknowledge that the baby is their second patient after the mother, and they take this very seriously. Dr. Francis says, and I quote, "Our medical ethics is based on the Hippocratic Oath, which expressly forbids abortion because it recognized the fact that killing has no place in the practice of medicine." End of quote. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all the people who are practicing abortions this very moment would take their Hippocratic Oath seriously and implement it? Again, I remind you who Dr. Francis is. She is a board-certified OBGYN and chairman of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And you should go to their website. It is aaplog.org to corroborate what I'm saying. aaplog.org. The abortion procedure, we know that it is horrendous. And it is an intentional ending of a preborn human life. Let's not sugarcoat it. Let's not change the terminology. This is homicide. This is massacre. This is blood-curdling to think that these babies in the womb are ripped apart piece by piece inside the mother's womb. Francis said, as she discussed what the end of Roe versus Wade would mean for OBGYNs and their patients, "We know all this renewed attention on abortion laws is appearing set to return to the states after a leaked draft majority opinion in the case of Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization was revealed that the Supreme Court is set to overturn Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion on demand across the nation 49 years ago, and approximately 63 million unborn children have been murdered. And that is only the ones that are being counted. The abortions that are performed surgically. Because there are a lot of chemical abortions that are not being reported. So you can rest assured that that number of 63 million babies is greatly, greatly increased. That is what the Roe versus Wade ruling unleashed on this nation. There's no inch of justification in our Constitution for that Supreme Court to have taken that decision the way they did. Absolutely no founding, no footing in the Constitution. And that leaked draft says that from the beginning, Roe versus Wade was wrong, and it's still wrong, and we must eradicate it. Because you see, men may say that something is legal, but if God does not approve it, it doesn't make it right. It does not make it right. Dr. Francis added, "One of the greatest joys and challenges of being an OBGYN is that when I'm taking care of a pregnant woman, I'm taking care of two patients. The fetal human being is a distinct, living, and whole human being from the moment of fertilization. And that is, without a doubt, scientific fact." End of quote. You want to follow the science? There's your science. From fertilization, from conception, a human being is a living and whole human being from that moment. The following percentages were news to me, and I was really rejoicing at this, that between 76% and 93% of OBGYN physicians do not perform abortions. Isn't that awesome? From 76 to 93% of these OBGYN physicians will not go there, will not perform abortions. In 2011, a study by the National Institutes of Health found that just 14% of obstetrician gynecologists perform abortions. And the Guttmacher Institute reports that only 7% of U.S. obstetricians and gynecologists who work in private practice provided abortions in 2013 and 2014. I'm so glad that a high percentage of these physicians are refusing to perform abortions. So you can imagine if 63 million babies and counting are on record and only a few obstetricians and gynecologists are doing the abortions, you can imagine how many hundreds and thousands of babies each one of those physicians carry out. A small percentage of OBGYNs who perform abortions is not because of a lack of knowledge. Dr. Donna Harrison, a board-certified OBGYN and executive director of American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, said during an event, and I quote, "We all know how to empty a uterus at any gestational age," end of quote. Dr. Harrison added, "Few gynecologists perform abortions because they recognize that it's their second patient that they'd be killing." End of quote. The mother is the first patient, but the baby in the womb is the second patient. It is the job of any physician to take all the precautions to give the best health care to all of their patients in regard to mother and child. OBGYNs take care of both patients, born and unborn. Now, something that should be pointed out is that the pro boards are distorting the facts and spreading fear-mongering propaganda that overturning Roe would then put the life of the mother in danger should she need to have her life saved by aborting a baby. And that is a baby that is presenting complications and endangering her life. It is common sense and the right thing to do to protect a mother who is having complications through childbirth. Doctors may induce labor or treat with surgery or medication in order to save the woman's life, and this is still going to be available. Mothers will still be offered resources and support that acknowledge the humanity of the baby growing inside of them. Both patients are important and should be given every opportunity for survival. Now, also, Dr. Harrison said that not all prenatal testing is accurate. Two-thirds of the diagnosis of Down syndrome by non-invasive prenatal testing are wrong. Imagine that. Besides, who says that Down syndrome babies don't deserve the right to life? That is so wrong. They deserve the right to life. So, dear friends, we should be encouraged to hear this perspective. I sure am. So glad this side of the medical field is ready for a post-Roe America. The other side of the prong of a post-Roe America is the Christian church and all the loving, compassionate American citizenry who want life protected at all stages. And we know what to do. We must be ready to pitch in and help receive these precious babies that our Heavenly Father is sending to the world. Churches need to house these people in houses of refuge for pregnant women who don't have the support or medical help that they need. And for some reason, they choose not to keep their babies. We can receive them into adoptive, loving families within our churches, our communities, or help foster these children and give them a good start in life. Mothers need to learn how to make better life decisions and choices so they won't continue to suffer and cause others to suffer as well. We know our commission, dear friends. We must be salt and light in this darkened world. That is our commission. We are to help the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans, and we should not expect the government to do our job. Read about it in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46, that tells us that we are to feed the hungry. We are to give the thirsty people something to drink. We are to take care of those who are strangers and who are naked and clothe them, who are sick and visit them, who are in prison, and we must see to their needs because it's going to be held against us if we do not. And if we do these things, the Lord's going to say, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. But if we don't do it, then it says that we will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Those are the choices that we have, dear friends. And in my view, the choice is easy. Let's do things God's way. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time with a new topic.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.